Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome to our Bible study. This is a Thursday afternoon. Glad to have you joining. Bill Allen here from very hot downtown Tyler, but a little cooler today. It's a cool front in August. That means that only 95, 96 instead of 98, 99, 100 or so. But no complaints. We are very, very blessed. I hope that you are feeling blessed as well today. And looking forward to the lesson today, although it's a really hard one. This is a really hard time, and I got to tell you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. As we have gone through the Daily Bible in chronological order this year, compiled by F. Legard Smith, we have had some pretty rough readings. I mean, lots of joyful readings, such as the Psalms, great promises in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the book of Genesis. Wonderful Bible history of the United Kingdom in David's time. We've also had some difficult passages, lots of war, lots of bloodshed. Also, there is a lot of troublesome things that go on during the period of the conquest in Joshua's day, the judges, the time of the judges. That was a very weird time. But now, as we have seen the people of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, being taken into captivity at the hands of the Assyrians in the 700s BC, and now it's Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah in their turn. God has called on the Babylonians to come and punish his people because of their sins of idolatry, immorality, injustice, acting inconsiderately and unlovingly towards each other. And God has had enough. He has sent his servants, the prophets, time and time again to warn them, and they just would not come around to stay. A brief respite during the days of Hezekiah, a brief respite during the days of Josiah, but Josiah's three sons and a grandson who reigned after him just could not continue that righteous living. And so now God has had enough, and he has already begun the exile in about 605 BC, as we saw. Some of the best of the best of Jerusalem were taken into exile, including Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll hear some more about them a little bit later. And then several years later, there was this great deportation that sent Ezekiel and 10,000 other residents of Jerusalem at the time to Babylon to exile. And while there in exile, just as Jeremiah was continuing to proclaim the message of the Lord back in Jerusalem, Ezekiel is called to do the same in Babylon in exile. We've already been seeing some of what he has shared and the difficult messages that they have. In just a little while, we're going to be reading about the fall of Jerusalem and the amazingly stark and sad lamentations written by Jeremiah as he laments the fall of Jerusalem and of his nation, the nation of Judah. All of this because of sin. It's very clear. All of this is because of sin. And it's not the sin of the pagans. It's the sin of God's people, the Jews, the Israelites, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God has had enough. And he has already sent a majority of them to Babylon, including Ezekiel. And he will soon, in just a couple of years, be destroying the city of Jerusalem itself. The walls will come down. Solomon's Grand Temple will be burned to the ground, and the king will be killed. It will be a horrible, horrible time in 586 BC. But that's a couple of years away still. So what is happening now? Well, it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. These are the words that we're going to be in Ezekiel 23 and 24 today. Those two chapters, we're basically going to read them. So if you want to turn there, you can. But this is the introduction to this reading, which is in your Daily Bible by F. Legard Smith on August the 20th. These are Brother Smith's words as he begins these very difficult chapters. If the picture of a sword fails to get Judah's attention, just in the last few chapters, Ezekiel had seen the picture of a sword, and God had said, "I'm bringing the sword of Babylon against my people." And remember, Ezekiel's in exile in Babylon, and the Babylonians are about to take his homeland, his city of Jerusalem. Again, Eflagard Smith's words, if the picture of a sword fails to get Judah's attention, the following allegory certainly ought to. In all of Scripture, there is probably no more graphic an indictment. Modern readers are almost offended. I might take out almost. Modern readers are almost offended by the candid exposure of two promiscuous sisters representing Israel and Judah. One gets at least some idea of the degree to which God himself is offended by his people's infidelity. Ezekiel will be talking about the people of God and their immorality, their sexual immorality, but also their spiritual adultery, worshiping other gods instead of being faithful to the Lord God. And in Ezekiel 23, he shares this very graphic metaphor, this very intense illustration of how much the people of God have hurt the Lord and have betrayed him, and just how serious that is, and therefore how serious these consequences are that they are already beginning to experience and will experience even more in the next couple of years. So a word of warning, I'm going to read it, PG-13, but Exodus 23, where the prophet does not hold anything back because God wants his people in Babylon to know, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing through the Babylonians to my people back in your homeland in Israel and Judah. Ezekiel 23. Ezekiel speaking, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, there were two women, daughters of the same mother. They became prostitutes in Egypt, engaging in prostitution from their youth. In that land, their breasts were fondled and their virgin bosoms caressed. The older was named Oholah, and her sister was Oholibah. They were mine and gave birth to sons and daughters. Oholah is Samaria, the northern kingdom of Israel. And Oholibah is Jerusalem, the southern kingdom of Judah. Oholah engaged in prostitution while she was still mine, and she lusted after her lovers, the Assyrians, warriors clothed in blue, governors and commanders, all of them handsome young men and mounted horsemen. She gave herself as a prostitute to all the elite of the Assyrians and defiled herself with all the idols of everyone she lusted after. She did not give up the prostitution she began in Egypt, when during her youth men slept with her, caressed her virgin bosom, and poured out their lust on her. Therefore I delivered her into the hands of her lovers, the Assyrians, for whom she lusted. They stripped her naked, took away her sons and daughters, and killed her with the sword. She became a byword among women, and punishment was inflicted on her. Little note here, Ezekiel here is talking about the northern kingdom of Israel and its capital city, Samaria, and the Assyrian kingdom that came in and carried them away into exile because of their sins. Now he's going to go on around Ezekiel 23, verse 12, 13. Her sister, Oholibah, this is the southern kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem. Her sister, Oholibah, saw this, yet in her lust and prostitution, she was more depraved than her sister. She too lusted after the Assyrians, governors and commanders, warriors in full dress, mounted horsemen, all handsome young men. I saw that she too defiled herself. Both of them went the same way. Verse 14 of Ezekiel 23, but she carried her prostitution still further. She saw men portrayed on a wall, figures of Chaldeans or Babylonians, portrayed in red with belts around their waists and flowing turbans on their heads. All of them looked like Babylonian chariot officers, natives of Chaldea. As soon as she saw them, she lusted after them and sent messengers to them in Babylon, Chaldea. Then the Babylonians came to her, to the bed of love, and in their lust they defiled her. After she had been defiled by them, she turned away from them in disgust. When she carried on her prostitution openly and exposed her naked body, I turned away from her in disgust, just as I had turned away from her sister. What a sad, tragic commentary from God himself. How he ultimately had to respond to the horrible sinfulness, idolatry, immorality, injustice of his own people. I turned away from her in disgust, just as I had turned away from her sister. Yet she became more and more promiscuous as she recalled the days of her youth when she was a prostitute in Egypt. There she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys and whose emission was like that of horses. So you longed for the lewdness of your youth, when in Egypt your bosom was caressed and your young breasts fondled. Therefore, O Oholibah, the nation of Judah, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will stir up your lovers against you, those you turned away from in disgust, and I will bring them against you from every side, the Babylonians and the Chaldeans, the men of Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, handsome young men, all of them governors and commanders, chariot officers and men of high rank, all mounted on horses. They will come against you with weapons, chariots and wagons, and with a throng of people. They will take up positions against you on every side with large and small shields and with helmets. I will turn you over to them for punishment, and they will punish you according to their standards. I will direct my jealous anger against you, and they will deal with you in fury. They will cut off your noses and your ears, and those of you who are left will fall by the sword. They will take away your sons and daughters, and those of you who are left will be consumed by fire. They will also strip you of your clothes and take your fine jewelry. So I will put a stop to the lewdness and prostitution you began in Egypt. You will not look on these things with longing or remember Egypt anymore. This is God talking about that siege that's beginning. And soon Jerusalem will fall to the pagan Babylonians because of the sins, the horrible, horrible sins that God has graphically expressed. The sins of his people. Ezekiel 23 continues in verse 28. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I am about to deliver you into the hands of those you hate, to those you turned away from in disgust. They will deal with you in hatred and take away everything you have worked for. They will leave you stark naked, and the shame of your prostitution will be exposed. Your lewdness and promiscuity have brought this on you because you lusted after the nations and defiled yourselves with their idols, that spiritual adultery that went along with their physical immorality. You have gone the way of your sister, speaking of the northern kingdom of Israel, so I will put her cup into your hand. This is what the sovereign Lord says, you will drink your sister's cup, a cup large and deep. It will bring scorn and derision, for it holds so much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of ruin and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. You will drink it and drain it dry and chew on its pieces, and you will tear your breasts. I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, since you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, you must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution. Those words just hang in the air, don't they? This is what the sovereign Lord says, since you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, you must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution. The Lord said to me, Ezekiel speaking, son of man, will you judge Oholah and Oholibah, the two sisters in the parable, the nations of Israel and Judah, God's people? Then confront them with their detestable practices, for they have committed adultery and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols. They even sacrificed their children, whom they bore to me as food for them. They have also done this to me. At the same time, they defiled my sanctuary and desecrated my Sabbaths. On the very day they sacrificed their children to their idols, they entered my sanctuary and desecrated it. That is what they did in my house, God says. He continues, they even sent messengers for me who came from far away. And when they arrived, you bathed yourself for them, applied eye makeup, and put on your jewelry. You sat on an elegant couch with a table spread before it on which you had placed the incense and olive oil that belonged to me. The noise of a carefree crowd was around her. Drunkards were brought from the desert, along with men from the rabble, and they put bracelets on the wrists of the woman and her sister, and beautiful crowns on their heads. Then I said about the one worn out by adultery, now let them use her as a prostitute, for that is all she is. And they slept with her. As men sleep with a prostitute, so they slept with those lewd women, Oholah and Oholibah, the nations of Israel and Judah. But righteous judges will sentence them to the punishment of women who commit adultery and shed blood, because they are adulterous and blood is on their hands. This is what the Sovereign Lord says, Ezekiel 23, verse 46. Bring a mob against them and give them over to terror and plunder. The mob will stone them and cut them down with their swords. They will kill their sons and daughters and burn down their houses. So I will put an end to lewdness in the land, that all women may take warning and not imitate you. You will suffer the penalty for your lewdness and bear the consequences of your sins of idolatry. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. That recurring, haunting refrain throughout this time of punishment. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. What more can be said? God feels deeply the shame and disgrace that his bride has brought him. Her disrespect for his spiritual leadership, her chasing after material satisfaction, and her many adulteries with lesser gods have left him no choice. Israel must be put away until she repents. The time has come. Even now, it begins. With those ominous words, Eflagard Smith is introducing Ezekiel chapter 24. And after this horrible, horrible, graphic chapter of Ezekiel 23, describing how deeply sinful God's people are, through this parable of the two sisters representing the two nations of Israel, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom of Judah, now we turn to chapter 24, where Ezekiel, far hundreds of miles away in Babylon, actually sees the beginning of that siege. On the very day that the siege begins in Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away, Ezekiel is told about the siege in Babylon. Ezekiel 24, beginning at verse 1, a couple years before the destruction of Jerusalem, the siege begins. Ezekiel 24, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, record this date, this very date, because the king of Babylon has laid siege to Jerusalem this very day. Tell this rebellious people a parable and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Put on the cooking pot, put it on and pour water into it. Put into it the pieces of meat, all the choice pieces, the leg and the shoulder. Fill it with the best of these bones. Take the pick of the flock. Pile wood beneath it for the bones. Bring it to a boil and cook the bones in it. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed. That's Jerusalem. Woe to the city of bloodshed, to the pot now encrusted, whose deposit will not go away. Take the meat out piece by piece, in whatever order it comes. For the blood she shed is in her midst. She poured it on the bare rock. She did not pour it on the ground, where the dust would cover it. To stir up wrath and take revenge, I put her blood on the bare rock so that it would not be covered. God's not going to let them hide any longer. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Woe to the city of bloodshed. I too will pile the wood high. So heap on the wood and kindle the fire. Cook the meat well, mixing in the spices, and let the bones be charred. Then set the empty pot on the coals till it becomes hot and its copper glows, so that its impurities may be melted away and its deposit burned away. It has frustrated all efforts. Its heavy deposit has not been removed, not even by fire. Now your impurity is lewdness, because I tried to cleanse you, but you would not be cleansed from your impurity. You will not be clean again until my wrath against you has subsided. I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. I will not hold back. I will not have pity, nor will I relent. You will be judged according to your conduct and your actions, declares the sovereign Lord. I don't know about you, but I get goosebumps reading that out loud just now today, because I think of the horrible sins of God's people, and I think of the horrible sins that we see in our lives today. And I think of God's patience and how one day it will run out. Now your impurity is lewdness, he wrote, because I tried to cleanse you, but you would not be cleansed from your impurity. You will not be clean again until my wrath against you has subsided. I, the Lord, have spoken. The time has come for me to act. I will not hold back. I will not have pity, nor will I relent. You will be judged according to your conduct and your actions, declares the sovereign Lord. Such haunting, scary, terrifying words coming from the sovereign Lord himself. Ezekiel continues, following this word about the beginning of Jerusalem's siege, actually this is an introduction from Eflagard Smith to the rest of this chapter. Following this word about the beginning of Jerusalem's siege comes one of the most disturbing accounts in all of recorded scripture. It is nothing new for God to provide signs of his working. Ezekiel himself has enacted many of these signs in the presence of his people and provided the interpretation for their edification. And it is nothing new for God to require great sacrifice on the part of his prophets. But God now brings a sign which requires the ultimate sacrifice of Ezekiel, a sign that there is to be no mourning for the loss of life when Jerusalem finally falls. And you'll be surprised to hear how God illustrates this. This is the extent and the seriousness that God takes the sin of his people. Ezekiel 24, starting in verse 15. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, with one blow I am about to take away from you the delight of your eyes. Yet do not lament or weep or shed any tears. Groan quietly. Do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened and your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache and beard or eat the customary food of mourners. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and in the evening my wife died. The next morning I did as I had been commanded. Then the people asked me, Won't you tell us what these things have to do with us? Why are you acting like this, not even mourning the death of his wife, the delight of his eyes? Ezekiel continues in chapter 24, So I said to them, The word of the Lord came to me. Say to the people of Israel, This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am about to desecrate my sanctuary, the stronghold in which you take pride, the delight of your eyes, the object of your affection. The sons and daughters you left behind in Jerusalem will fall by the sword, and you will do as I have done. You will not cover your mustache and beard or eat the customary food of mourners. You will keep your turbans on your heads and your sandals on your feet. You will not mourn or weep, but will waste away because of your sins and groan among yourselves. Ezekiel will be a sign to you. You will do just as he has done. When this happens, you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. What is God saying? Ezekiel's wife dies during the night, and the next day he gets up as if nothing had happened on the outside. Inside he's dying. But on the outside, God has told him no mourning. Don't put on the customary tradition of mourning with sackcloth and ashes. Dress the way you dress every day. Do not mourn the loss of your wife. And the people ask him, what does this mean? And Ezekiel has to say, God is bringing the destruction of our sanctuary, our temple in Jerusalem. God is bringing the Babylonians, and they will kill all of our loved ones that are still back in the city. And we are not to mourn when it happens. We're not to shed a tear outwardly. We're to dress as we always dress, and we are not to mourn. Why would God ask them to do such a thing? Because this is the punishment of their sins, and they are not to mourn. As much as it hurts, they are to accept the punishment of God. Ezekiel 24, verse 25. And you, son of man, on the day I take away their stronghold, their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes, their heart's desire, that's the temple and the city of Jerusalem, and their sons and daughters as well. On that day, a fugitive will come to tell you the news. At that time, your mouth will be opened. You will speak with him and will no longer be silent. So you will be a sign to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. We don't know the whole story behind the death of Ezekiel's wife, but what we do know is this. It represented the love and compassion and sacrifice that God had given to his people, and how they had returned that with sexual immorality, spiritual adultery, worshiping gods that were not gods at all, continuing in their life of injustice, spurning the law of Moses and the law of God. And God had warned them time and time and time and time again with the prophets, and they refused to repent. And finally God said, enough. It's judgment day, and there will be no mercy. I will not relent. I will not let up. And he tells the survivors, the ones who had been taken captive and were in Babylon, including Ezekiel, you are not to mourn for the destruction of your homeland. You are not to mourn for the destruction of your people in Jerusalem. You are not to mourn the destruction of Solomon's grand temple, because it is because of your sin, and it is from the hand of God. It's a horrible, terrible, terrible story. And it's sad and tragic. But Scripture says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Wages of sin is death. Ultimately, eternal death, separation from God. But the Israelites were experiencing the consequences of their sin in this world and in this life. And we are scared to death by these words, because we look around us today and we see how God deals with nations. And the chosen people today are not the nation of America or any other physical country, but it is the kingdom of God, the church. And we must look inside ourselves and ask ourselves, how faithful is the church today? How strong are we at keeping the word of our Lord? At living the way Jesus called us to live? At being that witness, that presence of God in this world? And as we look at the physical consequences, we are scared to death, because we look around at our own nation today and we say, how long will God allow this to go on? And my friend, I do not know the answer to that. I don't know. Could be another 300 years. Could be 3 days. I don't know. I just know this. We as Christians are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And that's our goal, and that's our call, and that's our mission, and we can do that. Even in the midst of very dark, dark times, we can be the light of the world. When it's the darkest, that's when the light shines the brightest. That's when it's most noticeable. That's when it helps the most. Be the salt of the earth. Be the light of the world. Because as we consider the tragic and horrible devastation that ended the nation of Judah in 586 BC, and the siege that started, that we just read about a couple of years before that, as we consider that today, we're reminded of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but we are also reminded of the rest of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God. for the salvation that comes through his Son, in spite of the darkness and horribleness of our sins. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God bless you, and I'll see you on Sunday or next Tuesday.